Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, in your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
So it's official, unofficially. TDS is a thing. I'm going to explain Trump derangement syndrome. The Epstein files are back. Trump has named Soros and Reid Hoffman as possible suspects in funding Antifa. Marco Rubio just named four Antifa groups as foreign terrorist organizations and included them on the administration's list of specially designated global terrorists. Swalwell has been referred to the DOJ for criminal charges. It's mortgage fraud again. Maybe he and Letitia can share a cell. Now, wait, that won't work. Neither of them will swap out their pronouns. Anyway, a Clinton-appointed federal judge hinted that she might dismiss the charges against James Comey and Letitia James on a technicality. Michigan patriots are massing in Michigan. They feel it's time to let the world know, and especially their Muslim neighbors, that there are America-loving patriots in Michigan who aren't all keen on Sharia law. And the idea of allowing these people to come in as foreigners and live under their own laws from where they came. Go back! Anyway, Tucker is releasing evidence he claims proves the FBI is lying about the Butler assassination attempt on President Trump. And have they found Hillary's emails? It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
So it's official, unofficially. Trump derangement syndrome. A practicing clinical psychologist told Harris Faulkner that TDS is something he is treating in his practice with some regularity. Some people are so obsessed, he pointed out, with their hatred of Trump, they can't sleep. Their obsession actively interferes with their personal and professional lives. Well, friend, that's virtually the definition of a psychosis. And although it has not been officially registered as such, psychologists and psychiatrists are treating patients who manifest a set of symptoms that not a few therapists are calling TDS. Well, we all knew that. Most of what we call intelligence, after all, is rational thought grounded in common sense. And anyone watching the left raging about Trump can see the irrational nonsense displayed by these Trump haters. I always want to offer a correction here. It is not actually about Trump, per se. Remember, the left was in love with Trump before he entered the race against Hillary, including Hillary, by the way. It isn't about Trump. It's just that Trump exposes their hypocrisy from a platform that shines a very bright light on it. We were calling the so-called mainstream media fake news for a while. But then Trump comes along, he says it, and the phrase quickly becomes a national slogan because he has a world-class platform. We watched once arrogant, pompous news icons wither under the scathing rebuke of a public giant pointing his finger at a reporter and saying two words, fake news. Sometimes three words if you count a contraction as one. You're fake news. Second, Trump loves America as founded. He wears his patriotism on his sleeve. He's unashamedly, unabashedly pro-America and pro-Americans. When they're not, that's not their thing. They are unabashedly anti-America as founded and openly declare their intention to transform America into something it never was or ever was intended to be. They are communists wearing the thin disguise of socialism, masquerading as champions for the poor, when in fact, they want to eat the poor and devour them. I'm speaking in a metaphor. Here's one recent example. During the Schumer shutdown, the senator from New York made it clear he knew what pain his shutdown was causing to traditionally Democratic Party voters. But he explained their pain and suffering was his leverage to force Republicans to their knees in submission to his party's plan to provide health care for illegals. Well, it failed. The shutdown is over. Trump signed the bill to reopen the government. No one should forget what Schumer did to the American people, especially what he did to the poor, whose pain he intended to leverage for his personal political benefit. That's right, the AOC wing of his party is eyeing his Senate seat. AOC voted against reopening the government every chance she got. Maybe by the time she runs again, Ma'am Denny will have taught the New Yorkers what communism looks like from inside the Iron Curtain. The public schools sold out to communism long ago, so now New Yorkers will take a class on Marxism. They're going to enter a laboratory experiment. Let's pray they learn their lesson well. When they see themselves surrounded by lawlessness and economic collapse and corruption and graft from the government, maybe then they'll realize what they need is Giuliani revisited. So TDS arises from Trump's defection from the Democrat Party, his willingness to expose the hypocrisy and evil of the Democrat Party, and especially his effectiveness at calling them out. His open love for America and Americans galls them. His open acknowledgement of Christ, that's the big one. Remember, we can say Merry Christmas again. That got him. And in the theme of his reelection in 2024, it came down to Christ is King. You know, GW at least acknowledged Christians were being persecuted, but Trump is bringing full national and international attention to this problem. Trump is the only president in my memory to bring national and international attention to Christocide. Yeah, what else could you call it? Jesus told Paul his persecution of Christians was persecution directed at him personally. And ever read Matthew 25? What you're doing to them, you've done to me. Christians are the number one most hated and persecuted people in the world. And that's been going on for a very long time. And it is time somebody brought attention to it and did something about it. Jesus Christ is King. And it makes the left crazy. Why? What problem do they have with Christ? If you say, well, it's not Christ, it's Christians. So many are hypocrites. Yeah, you can't find hypocrites anywhere else except among Christians, right? There aren't any hypocrites in politics. So you throw in with the most deceitful, lying, hypocritical, and evil political party to exist since the Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' day conspired to crucify him. The core principle of the left today is that protecting democracy means protecting the Democrat Party at all costs, even at the cost of democracy. For the left, the principle of the consent of the governed, that's the ideal of democracy, by the way, is irrelevant. Their idea of democracy is the supremacy of their party, and their party is opposed to any actions of the people that oppose their rule. Take Proposition 50 as an example. Democratic Party Governor Newsom threatened by the shift toward Republicans in 2024 presidential election, and I think afraid California was turning red, had to find something to secure his one-party rule in California. California voted statewide a while back to take districting away from politicians and turn it over to the citizens. We got tired of these rascals doing what's called gerrymandering. And you know what that is, but just in case, it's a device used to allow a ruling party to draw electoral district boundaries that give one political party an advantage during an election. Now, keeping the control of district maps in the hands of the people is important. But that's not our only problem. Voter ID must become the law in our state. Universal mail-in voting has got to stop, and we need to get rid of those cursed Dominion theft machines. Voter ID is a no-brainer. The only people who oppose it are the Democrats, who claim it will disenfranchise their voting base. Really? Who is their voting base? People too ignorant to obtain an ID? Why is it that only the Democrats are too stupid to know how to get proper identification? You see, the fact is, they aren't. The reason voter ID interferes with Democrats in elections is that it provides a control against voter fraud. By the way, our Department of Justice has joined the lawsuit challenging Proposition 50. The district map proposed by Gavin Newsom and his party is intentionally created to give Democrats an advantage in the 2026 election. The devil Dems are counting on illegal immigrants to carry them, and that's the population they're targeting. It's almost all they have left. But creating a district map guided by race consideration is against the law. So we'll see how this goes. Let's pray this devilish device will fail and Proposition 50 will be dismissed as illegal according to California law. as well as unconstitutional because it violates the 14th Amendment of equal protection under the law, TDS. It reminds me of a similar derangement that afflicted the rulers of the Jews in Jesus' day. Jesus was hated by the establishment rulers of the day. They were intensely jealous, envious of his enormous popularity, and they resented that he embarrassed them in front of the people regularly. They were afraid he would take away their power. Do I need to say Trump is not Jesus? Really? You think maybe someone out there actually believes that anyone would confuse Trump with Jesus? And on that note, I get a little weary of this bit that you have to say, well, you know, Trump isn't perfect. Well, who doesn't know that? Whoever said he was? Well, how about no one? Not even Trump. You know, John Lennon once said the Beatles were more popular than Christ, but every time someone refers to or quotes from John Lennon or the Beatles, there's never the compulsion to remind everyone, now, Lennon isn't Jesus, you know. The Beatles weren't Jesus, you know. The parallels between the spirit that moved the crowd to cry, crucify Jesus, and that spirit that animates those who suffer TDS are very eerily similar. Irrational hatred of someone whose massive popularity threatens the interests of one political religious party. Have you noticed the religious nature of the Democrat Party today? It operates like the Catholics did during the Middle Ages, including an Inquisition-style oppressive control over its members, severe punishment for going against the party, say church, and ironclad control of dissent. Include the absurd doctrines that everyone's required to endorse. You know, like a man who usurps the place of Christ in the lives of the party, and, the Pope claims to be Christ in Christ's stead, the head of Jesus' church. That's even more absurd, by the way, than saying a man can become a woman by merely declaring it to be so. The church has one head, and that is Christ. And that's axiomatically true, as the fact that males and females are chromosomally, is that a word, differentiated? Males are XY, females are XX, period. The point I'm making is that the spirit operating in the crowd that irrationally hated Jesus is the same spirit working today in the crowd that hates Trump. Same one. It's the old devil. While on the human level, the spirit stirs up the same natural evil in the hearts of men, especially envy, mixed in with some fear of losing their place and station in life, the deeper loathing against him comes from their love of darkness rather than light. Their loathing of the spirit of Jesus Christ. Well, at the bottom of it all is the old struggle between light and darkness. Trump is dragging evil into the light. And like Dracula, two things are true of these people. One, they cannot see themselves in the mirror, like Dracula cannot see his own reflection. And they catch fire when exposed to sunlight. Hold on to the break, my dear friends. I'll be right back. Folks, I can see right now that my second segment is going to run a little long. So we're going to roll on through the break.
Stand
and
by.
Continue.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your
Hello,
mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that will steal from us our liberties. Trump gave them a chance, you know, to shut up about it. I'm talking about this Epstein thing, you know, he roped the dope again. Some selected emails culled from Epstein's files and then leaked to implicate Trump as having some secret dealings with Epstein and Maxwell have backfired. I've read them, at least the excerpts printed in a Reuters article. No email communications from Trump to Epstein or Maxwell. No indication of criminal activity in the emails they leaked. But the innuendo is the thing, you see. And by the way, it's intentional. Innuendo is a weird word, huh? Innuendo. It's taken directly from the Latin verb. It means to nod towards or to make plain what is hinted at. Is actually the idea as it was originally. In law, it was used to identify the person of a pronoun. Later, it came to be used to refer to a gesture or a statement intended to implicate someone in wrongdoing. It's weird how this happens in language. And by the way, CIA operations often use innuendo in the second meaning. As a way to smear someone without an open accusation in order to avoid recriminations for falsely accusing them. Now, some think the leaked emails support a theory that Epstein was a CIA operative being used to bring Trump down. It's already unraveling. For the one thing, the name of the Epstein victim that is redacted, the one Epstein alleges Trump spent many hours with in his house, is none other than Virginia Roberts, whose married name is Virginia Giffray. She testified that Trump did nothing untoward to her, and in her book, she clearly indicated that he was innocent of any wrongdoing. And so that creates a problem for the Dems. CNN tried their best to make the most out of these Democratic leaked emails. Well, right now, they're trying to cover their tracks. They covered the story extensively, always bringing forward the insinuation, the innuendo, that Trump was knowledgeable of Epstein's crimes and of the girls he and Maxwell were trafficking. As the White House begins pushing back, CNN is folding up its tent and carrying away its soapbox. CNN issued a formal statement, quote, "We want to be clear, Trump didn't receive or send any messages," adding, "He has not been accused of any wrongdoing with Epstein or Maxwell." Now, those are quotes. Maybe someone called from CBS and gave them a little bit of advice. So anyway, what is all this about? They have no emails exchanged between Trump and Epstein or with Maxwell. The only thing they found was an email from Epstein to Maxwell planting the innuendo that Trump was involved in Epstein's shenanigans because he spent many hours with Virginia Roberts in his home. But nothing else corroborates that. We all know what a liar and scoundrel Epstein is. We also know that Trump became acquainted with Epstein and frankly didn't like him and barred him from Mar-a-Lago. One of the proofs Trump knew about the girls was supposedly Trump telling Ghislaine to stop. Well, stop what? Recruiting girls, I guess, at his estate. Knowing about something, however, or seeing something and becoming suspicious about it is not the same thing as having sufficient proof to report a crime. In other words, Trump did take the action within his power to take in response to what he saw was going on there. What about this lingering suspicion that Epstein was a CIA asset or that he and Maxwell had connections with Mossad, Israel's counterpart to our CIA? Former U.S. Attorney Alexander Acosta negotiated Epstein's 2008 plea deal. Reportedly, he was pressured to give Epstein special considerations. He told others, questioning his actions, that Epstein, quote, belonged to intelligence, end quote, and he told them to, quote, leave it alone, end quote. Now, what it means to belong to intelligence is pretty broad. No agency is identified in the comment, and no official capacity is indicated. But add this to the fact that Epstein had connections to high-profile intelligence figures. And the first one to step forward is none other than Ghislaine Maxwell. Yeah, her father is Robert Maxwell, and he has been linked to Mossad. Evidence of this guy's relationship with the Mossad and Israeli intelligence is very strong. And you can check it out here. My link. He was buried on the Mount of Olives, by the way, with full Israeli state honors. This is Maxwell's daddy. A former Israeli prime minister and defense minister, Ehud Barak, met with Epstein on multiple occasions. Epstein's properties were equipped with extensive surveillance cameras, audio recording devices all over the place. Now, this guy was either paranoid or weird about knowing what anyone on his property was saying and doing, because this went beyond wanting to keep tabs on unwanted visitors and extended over into keeping tabs on invited guests. He might have used compromising material to blackmail powerful individuals. That's the point. It's called the honey trap blackmail model, and it's similar to what intelligence agencies, including Mossad, have allegedly done. Some suggest intelligence services would see Epstein as a valuable asset to be used for gaining this kind of leverage over powerful political or business personalities. Epstein authored or co-authored work that addressed sensitive intelligence topics, particularly CIA-FBI operations. For instance, in Of Moles and Mole Hunters, Epstein explored Soviet espionage, double agents, and disinformation. So his interest went beyond an obsession with porn, but there was that too. Some agree that his deep engagement with espionage history suggests more than just a private fascination, that he may have had real intelligence ties. Anyway, check out this link to my ChatGPT quick research on all this, including rebuttals of the claims. Trump is naming Soros and Reid Hoffman as possible suspects in funding Antifa, the anarchists trying to overthrow the government, you know, the real insurrectionists, the ones Pelosi used, along with the Capitol Police, to agitate the J6 protesters to riot, to provide cover for their insurrection attempt in 2020. Pelosi is getting nervous, snapping at reporters, and looking paranoid, in my opinion. She is particularly sensitive to any question about why she refused Trump's offer of National Guard deployment to protect the Capitol. The presence of Antifa at the J6 protests should be looked at least as carefully as they looked into the presence of Proud Boys or MAGA Americans. Marco Rubio just named 4 Antifa groups as foreign terrorist organizations, FTOs, and included them on the administration's list of specially designated global terrorists. Now, what this will do is throw the doors wide open to go after their funding sources. Hey, Soros, knock, knock. Who's there? Reid Hoffman with a question. Does Trump send drones after carriers transporting terrorist money? Crime pays until it's time to pay, a famous sermon preached thousands of times by Robert Greene Lee, not the general, was titled Payday Someday. Well, someday has come for some of these states that have been milking the SNAP system for hundreds of millions in fraud. DOGE has helped expose this. In only 29 of the 50 states, we have discovered almost 200,000 dead people receiving SNAP benefits. Well, actually, it's living people using dead people's Social Security numbers, SSNs, to file for and receive government assistance intended for living people. The only reason someone uses a dead man's SSN to apply for SNAP is if he's bilking the system. Some states are feverishly trying to stop the federal government from having access to their records, which is how they're exposing this. Well, what have they to hide? Why does a state not want this to be cleared up? Well, that's bizarre. Are some political interests served by having people on SNAP using, illegally, by the way, using SSNs of deceased people? Perhaps this aligns with what they do on the voter rolls, right? Is some Democrat in there identifying unused SSNs to pass on to illegals? Well, I don't know exactly. But I do know that it's payday someday, and someday's coming. Swalwell has been referred to the DOJ for criminal charges. It's mortgage fraud again. Hey, Swalwell, to quote you, no one is, when Trump was going through this, no one is above the law. No one is above the law. No one is above the law. No one is above, I think you wrote that 4 or 5 times on your X there, your X post. Here's a good question for you, Mr. Eric Swalwell. If you Democrats are so intent on people paying taxes and taxes and more taxes, why do so many of you commit fraud in an effort to avoid paying taxes? Michigan patriots are massing in Michigan. They feel it's time to let the world know and their Muslim neighbors that there are America-loving patriots in Michigan too. Michigander Anthony Hodson, American patriot, a Republican running for governor of Michigan, is organizing this march. He's running on the Islamic invasion problem in Michigan. And, well, the Muslims don't like him, you think? He's organizing this march in Dearborn to protest the imposition of Sharia law there. He is calling it a crusade, that is, the march. The Muslims call Americans protesting an invasion of their land and efforts to plant a little Mecca in the middle of Michigan a provocation? Well, who's doing the provoking here? Tucker released evidence he claims proves the FBI is lying about the Butler assassination attempt on President Trump. Huh. The FBI claimed Crooks was an online ghost, but Tucker has uncovered a detailed digital trail of violent threats and calls for assassinations, and alleges that he was very active and had a detailed digital trail across more than a dozen accounts, YouTube, multiple emails, Snapchat, Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, Discord, Google Play, Quizlet, Chess.com, and Quora. It makes me wonder if listing YouTube means he has a video presence there. That would be important. Or did he watch his favorite Fox show on YouTube? The emails and the posts on Discord and so on. Now, that could be very interesting, I think. Of course, I haven't seen any of this material. It all might be fascinating. But I trust Tucker. But I've got more work to do on this, obviously. I don't have time to sort it all out right now. It's getting late, very late, by the way. And I'm rolling along the Amtrak Surfrider rail, trying to do my recording on the train. And I wrote that while I was on the train, and I was trying to record on the train. It just didn't work out. I've had to redo the entire thing when I got to my office late. But here's some news I'll want to discuss Saturday night for Brain Massage Live. In the DOJ case against Comey, they found communications indicating that the FBI found Hillary's emails on Weiner's laptop. Remember the famous Weiner laptop? Yeah. He was married to Huma Aberdeen. Is that how you say it? She was Hillary Clinton's personal assistant. Now, I understand they didn't know all their comms were being copied to her husband's hard drive. This means it is reasonable to expect that the FBI had her emails because they had that hard drive, and it's payday someday, and someday's getting close. The only hope Comey has is if a Clintonista-appointed federal judge does what she hinted she will do and dismiss the charges against James Comey and Letitia James on a technicality. I didn't have time to look at what is the technicality, but I do understand that it was likely set up by the deep state hangers-on in the DOJ who were slow-walking Comey's indictment, stalling, and then when caught at that and fired, they stymied movement, jostling judges around in order to get this case in front of a Clintonista. It turned out that the guy Pam gave the indictment proceeding to was married to the daughter of a Comey godfather. Now, for those who take all that seriously, it's as close to a family member tie you can have, short of a biological connection. Now, we're going to pray for justice to prevail over manufactured technicalities. These people who strain at gnats of technicalities to worm their way out from under the sword of justice are the same ones who choke down egregious abuses against the weightier matters of the law. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know that you see that they are on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button and send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. And that number is 1-805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.